Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's today's message.
Well, good morning, City Church. How are you guys doing? So, I thought of something fun to do. I wanted to start off by playing a game. So, this is how the game's going to work, all right? We're going to play a theme song, and your job is to figure out what show this theme song came from. But here's the thing. Don't yell out the name of the show. Just as soon as you get it, just start singing along. Can you do that? All right, roll it, Scott. Okay, these guys got it. How about back there? You guys got it? All right. Who knows this part? Sing it out. Hey! That's awesome. Good stuff. Thank you, Scott. Awesome. Wow. A lot of you guys caught on really quick on that. Okay, count of three. What show is that from? One, two, three. Friends. It is from the hit TV show Friends. It's about six friends that basically just hung out. And 10 points for the person who knows what the name of the coffee shop that they hung out at all the time. Got some diehards here. Look at that. Awesome. So the TV show Friends, it aired from 1994 to 2004. It had over 236 episodes, and it set records all around the world as one of the most watched TV shows in history. And it was hugely popular back then, but 25 years later, it's still hugely popular now. It's actually exploding again. It was reported last year, it brought in over $1 billion of syndication revenue to Warner Brothers just last year. And this isn't just nostalgic people watching reruns. Actually, Generation Zers, the new generation, is falling in love with this show from 25 years ago, as it's one of the most watched Netflix shows of all time, with over 54 million hours of viewing time. That's over 62,000 years of watch time. Are you kidding me? They watched this that long? Oh my gosh. So, okay, why? Why is the show Friends so incredibly popular? And it goes beyond generations and age barriers and ethnicities. Why is it so popular? Well, because this show relates directly to the human condition. And the answer is right in its title. Friends. You see, the humans, we are designed for friendship. We are designed for relationship. And it doesn't matter how old you are, or how young you are, or where you come from, we are all the same because it is imprinted in our God-given DNA that we were made for relationship, we were made for friendship. So if you haven't caught on yet, today we're talking about friendship. And the title of my sermon today is, You Need Friends, and Your Friends Need You. Now, there's two parts to this message. The first part, we're going to learn the best model of a friendship from the best source, the creator of it all, Jesus himself. And then the second part of the message, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to get a little bit nerdy on you, and I'm going to go through all the reasons why friendship is so important, and I'm going to come from it from a psychological and neuroscience perspective. The goal is that we would understand why God created us and designed us for relationship, for friendship. And so that we would intentionally begin building those deeper kinds of relationships that ultimately make our lives healthier and happier. And with the goal, of course, to be the best friends for those around us, to be the givers of life that God intended us to be. So, from the very beginning, God created man in his image. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "It is not good for man to be alone." Now, it's very interesting to think about this. Up until this point in the creation story, everything that God created was good. All right, so God created the land, and after he'd create something, he'd say, "It's good." And then God created the stars and the sun, and he would say, "And it's good." And then God created the animals in the sea and in the air, and he would say, "It's good." But then when he got to man, and he said, "It's not good." This is the first not good situation. Well, let me clarify. He wasn't done when he said it's not good for man to be alone. All right, he was still in the process of creating. You see, man was created in the image of God, right? So God is a perfect triune God. He is in perfect community with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So now when he creates man, man is on his own. He doesn't have a community, and that is not good. And so that's why he says it's not good for man to be alone. You know, this verse, you may have heard it before in weddings and marriages, and this verse is not just speaking about marriage. It's speaking about human relationship as a whole. See, it was not good because Adam had no other human being to connect with. Now, there is a deficiency in being alone. Without friendship, being in isolation, it's proven fact that there is a deficiency when you are alone. Statistically, single, isolated men are jailed more often, they earn less money, they are prone to more illnesses, and they die at a younger age when they are isolated. Single men without deep relationships live 20% shorter when they have cancer. Now, vice versa is true as well. A key finding from a major study of adults was that they found that people who had close, long-term friends, they were in better moods, better functioning order, as well as emotional and physical health. A study was done on cancer patients that found that patients with deeper relational ties were associated with better overall survival, meaning that the treatments worked better on them and that they responded to the treatments, they relapsed less, and their overall survival length was longer. Relationships keep us alive. Relationships are good for us. And it's amazing to see how this was spoken in the Bible so long ago, and science is catching up with what the Bible is saying and proving that it's true. You know, this is absolutely true in my mom's case. Now, for some of you guys who don't know, my mom, she was diagnosed with cancer last year, and the doctors gave her a few months to live. They said that she would most likely be gone December 2018. But here we are, 10 months later, way past what the doctors told her, and she is still with us, and she is responding to treatments incredibly well, and I believe that it is a direct result for two factors. One, the prayer of this church and the prayer of her church. There are so many people that are covering my mom in prayer. It's incredible, and I believe that God works in prayer. And two, the overwhelming response of her social community from her friends and our family. When my mom got sick, we had family members from all over the world coming together to be with her and to support her. Her small group at her church, they come over every week to lift up her spirits. And even my brother, he moved his family back into my mom's household so that he can be there to help. And you know what? Every morning, my mom gets to wake up and hang out with her 4-year-old granddaughter and teach her things and teach her how to bake and take care of her. You know, it gave her a new sense of purpose. When she was an empty nester and the home was empty, she expressed that she felt lonely and that she lost purpose in her life. But now, with this new resurgence of this social community and the deepening of relationships, she has found this new purpose. And I believe that because of it, it's a direct result that she is responding to the treatments so well. And I just have to share this. This is amazing. On Monday, we went to the doctors, and we got the results of her last biopsy. And the doctor said that there is no evidence of leukemia in her bone marrow, and she is considered in remission right now. God is so good. It's a testament that God, in prayers work, and friendships and relationships, they really do keep us alive. And so we are going to learn in the scriptures how to be the best of friends from the best of models, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to turn into the book of John, chapter 15. We're going to continue on in our Gospel of John series. We're going to start at verse 12 of chapter 15 in the book of John. So you guys can turn there, or you can swipe there. If you got a phone, you can download the YouVersion Bible app. But as you get there, let us bow our heads and our hearts to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you that you are the God that created us in your image, that you're the God that created us for relationship. And we ask that you would just speak today. You'd open up our hearts to hear exactly the words that you want us to hear. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to read John chapter 15, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, starting at verse 12. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." It's a commandment to love one another. Now, you can't love another if you're by yourself, right? You need friends to love on. And this is a very important commandment, and we know this because Jesus repeats this three times. Two chapters before, in John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then he repeats it two times again, which we just read in John chapter 15, verse 12, and in verse 17, he says, "Love one another." So this is clearly an important commandment that Jesus has given his disciples before he goes to the cross. So how do we love one another? Well, he said it right there. We love the way that Jesus loved us. And so we're going to look at Jesus' model of friendship and how he loved us to see how we can be the best of friends. So if you came in here, you got a note sheet. This helps you follow along with the message. Your first point is this. Jesus' model of friendship, love and be loved. Love and be loved. By the measure that Jesus loved us, we are to be an extension of that love to others. So how did Jesus love us? Well, it said it right there that he loved them as friends, right? No greater love than this, than to lay down your life for a friend. Now, first I want to make a distinction between the two different kinds of loves that are written here. Now, many of you guys may know that the Greek language, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Greek language has many words for love. And I want to make a distinction of the two degrees of love that are shown here. See, the love that is reserved for a friend is a love called phileo. And so many people think that, Jesus is saying, hey, I see you guys as friends. So they think the love that he's speaking about is this phileo love. Phileo, that kind of sounds familiar. The city Philadelphia, you ever heard that city before? You know what its motto is? City of brotherly love. And that's exactly what phileo love is. And this is the next point in your note sheet. Phileo is affectionate love shown towards a friend. But this is not the love that Jesus is talking about here. We are to identify ourselves as friends, but we are to love one another even deeper than that. And so this phileo kind of love, it's dependent on your affections. See, if your emotions are not there and you don't feel like being loving anymore, well, then love's not going to be there anymore because it's dependent on how you feel. See, this is a thing that is based on how you feel. You know, if you don't feel like it's conditional, and so it's based on your at the moment feelings. So it's great when the affections are there and things are good, but what happens when you have an argument or you got a bad day? Then the conditions aren't met, and you no longer feel like loving, and that love is gone. And so phileo love is conditional love towards a friend based on affections. Now, Jesus wants us to use a deeper love than phileo love. The word used here for love extends from the root word agape. And this is the strongest of loves, this agape love. And this is the next point in your note sheets. Agape love is unconditional love that is a choice. Now, that's the key right there. It is a choice. See, agape, it means actively doing what the Lord prefers by his power and direction. And true agape love involves a choice, a selection. You see, this kind of love is not based on feelings. It is based on a commitment. Agape love. This is the kind of love that carries marriages through the good times and the bad times when you don't feel it like it anymore. This is the kind of love that allows you to love your enemy and turn the other cheek when it doesn't feel like you want to do that. This is the kind of love that carried Jesus to the cross. It is this unconditional love. Agape is not dependent on feelings or circumstances. It is dependent on a choice, on a commitment. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, Jesus loved us despite us, and he sacrificed his love for us anyway. He lived out that saying, "Lay down your life for your friend." Now, despite our flaws, despite our mess-ups, despite how all our sins and our hang-ups, God chose to love you. He chose to love you regardless. And that is the agape love. And he laid down his life for you. So does that mean that the way we should love, we should die for our friends? Well, you only get one of those. So you can't really resurrect yourself. But what I am saying is that you should die to self for your friends. You should put the needs of others above your own needs. See, agape love is the deepest and the strongest kinds of love. And it is the love that Jesus showed us. And it is this love that we are to show to one another when he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Love with this agape love, unconditional love, the choice love. And so the other part of Jesus' model of friendship is this: know and be known. Know and be known. John 15, verse 15 says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus knew his disciples fully. And likewise, his disciples knew him as well. Because Jesus, he would share all that he learned from the Father to his disciples. And his disciples, they knew Jesus because Jesus kept no secrets from them. He was open and revealed everything to them. Yeah, the Hebrew word for friendship is the same word for secret. So odd. A friend is someone that you let into a secret place in your heart where you are both fully known. When you know the heart of Jesus fully, and his heart becomes your heart. And so how do you get to know someone that deeply? How do you get to know someone fully? Well, this is the next point in your note sheet. Invest the time. Invest the time. See, Jesus knew his disciples, and his disciples knew him because they spent so much time together. For 3 years straight, they walked together, they ate together, they did ministry together, they fished together, they struggled together. They spent time together, and they invested that time in the relationship, and it grew. Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, "Walk with the wise and become wise." Spend time walking with the right people, and it will affect your life positively. The disciples, they literally spent 3 years walking with Jesus, and they became more Christ-like. But the opposite is true as well. See, the second half of the verse, Proverbs 13, verse 20, says this: "You walk with the wise, you become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, you may have heard this verse before. It says, "Bad company corrupts good morals." You see, you got to choose who you're going to spend and invest your time with, because you will become who you hang out with. It's said that you become the average of your five closest friends, and the people that surround you, they will affect your life. And it is a proven fact. There was a study done that found out that if you hang out with friends that are gaining weight, guess what? You have a 57% chance that you're going to gain weight with them. And if you have friends that are doing drugs and in and out of jail, you have a higher likelihood of following suit as well. You know, there's a story of three friends, and they were out at sea, and they got their boat sank, and they got stuck on a raft. And there was a Japanese friend, there was an American friend, and there was a Polish friend. Yes, it's one of these stories. And so they were out there for a long time, and they were on the brink of death, dehydrated, no food, they're about to die, they're about to call it quits. But then one of the friends saw something shiny in the distance, and it was floating towards the raft. And so as it got closer, all three of them, they reached in and they pulled it out and brought it into the raft, and it was a lamp with a genie in it. And poof, a genie pops out and he says, I am a genie, I give you 3 wishes, but since you guys all pulled it in together, well, you each get 1 wish. And so the Japanese friend, he goes, okay, I got a wish, I know what I want. I wish that I'd be back in Japan with my wife eating fresh sliced sashimi. And poof, it was. Japanese friend disappeared, now he was back at home with his wife eating sashimi. And then the American friend, he goes, okay, I know what I'm gonna wish for, genie. I wish that I was back in Southern California eating In-N-Out double-double animal-style fries with my fiancé. And poof, it was so. The American friend was out in Southern California eating fresh, hot animal-style fries. And so now the genie looked at the last friend, the Polish friend, and he looks at him and says, okay, what is your final wish? And the Polish friend, he just, God bless him, he had such a big heart. He loved his friends. And he said, I really miss my friends. I really wish that I can be with them again. And poof, the Japanese and American guy came back to the raft. The moral of the story is this. Some of you guys have friends that keep on bringing you back to places where you shouldn't be. Some of you guys have friends that keep on bringing you back to places that you left long ago. But they keep on dragging you back there. Some of you guys have friends that are hindering your progress where God wants you to be in life. And so invest in time with the right kind of people, because you will be who you hang out with. Another way to get to know someone is this, and this is the next point in your note sheets. Vulnerability is the pathway to intimacy. Be real. There's no faster way to grow in intimacy than to be vulnerable. Look at your neighbor and say, be real. Be real. See, Proverbs 17, verse 17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A bond is formed when you overcome challenges together. If one fails and falls, the other one can lift them up. But there has to be trust and humility to open up oneself to another, to be vulnerable, and to be real. And no one exemplified this greater than Jesus. You see, in Matthew 26, verse 38, before Jesus was going to go to the cross, he was in anguish, and he went to go pray. And it says this, that Jesus said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to be with him while he was in prayer, in deep torment. Now, this is a picture that even Jesus is asking for support from people that he trusts and loves. If Jesus can be vulnerable with his friends, then so can you, and so should you. Everyone needs to have people that they can be vulnerable with. Now, I want to be clear. You don't have to tell everybody everything, but you need to tell somebody everything. Everyone should have at least 1 person, 2, 3, 4 people that you can just be open with and vulnerable with no judgment, and you can just spill your guts and let them know what is truly on your heart. We need that. It is part of the human condition, why we need relationship. And so be vulnerable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. We need friends that we can suffer together. And then it says this right after, if one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Because life is full of hills and valleys. You're down one moment and you're up the next. And if you have friends that will be with you through the thick and thin, that is the deepest kinds of relationships. To go through life's challenges together and celebrate life's victories together. Now, Jesus' friendship model is to be fully known and to be fully loved. And I asked some of the worship team members to come up and share a song with you guys. You see, Jesus has loved you, and he died for you. And he, fully knowing who you are, and all your mess-ups, and all your hang-ups, and all your sins, he fully knew that, and yet he chose, and he selected to fully love you. And he made the commitment to fully love you, despite it all. While you were still sinners, Jesus died for you, and he fully knew it, and he fully loved you. So before we dive into this next part of the message, I want you guys to listen and hone into the lyrics of this song, because it exemplifies Christ's love for you.
See right through the mess inside. And you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again. And I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. No matter what I do, oh, it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you.
Fully known, and you are fully loved. And so it is with that kind of love, nice catch. That guitar is fully loved, you can tell. It is with that kind of love that God wants you to love others. And so here we're going to switch gears into the second part of the message. We're going to learn practical ways, the nuts and bolts of loving one another and what that looks like and how we can do it. So I'm just warning you, I might nerd out a bit on you guys. I've been reading a book. It's by a Dr. John Townsend, and it's this book called People Fuel. And he researched the neuroscience behind how the brain works and specifically how it works with interactions in relationships. And he found that psychologically, we need relationships. Relational interactions are the fuel that keep us healthy. Now, just as your body needs nutrients, just as you need potassium and you need carbs and you need some people are doing no carbs, but as you need, you know, the vitamins and all that stuff, so does your mental self. You need relational nutrients. And so to keep you operating healthy and at optimal performance. So there are four relational nutrients that they discovered that humans are designed and need. And so these are the four ways that nutrients that we need, and these are the things that we need to give as well as receive. And so this is the next part in your note sheets. Four relational nutrients that we need. The first one is we need relationships that will be present. We need relationships that will be present. See, we need to meet with friends frequently face to face. In Exodus, it says that Moses would meet with God face to face as a friend would. Look at your neighbor and say, we need to meet face to face. We need to be present in each other's lives. We need to be present in each other's lives. And this is the purpose of being present. The purpose is to build trust. American Sociological Review found that the average American has two close friends, opposed to 20 years ago when the average was six close friends. Now, they found that an average American today, only one out of four people say they don't have a single close, trusted friend. We need more face-to-face interactions, and social media and FaceTime don't count. I'm sorry, guys, but the research is true, and it's in, and what they are finding is that there is a chemical called oxytocin, and it surges into the brain, which enhances our feelings of trust and cooperation when we meet with people, and that chemical, oxytocin, is not released to create closer bonds with interactions when those are being done via a screen. And so that's why we need to be connected beyond a digital device. It has to be a face-to-face interaction. And it boggles my mind how we are the most connected generation in history, yet we are still the most lonely as well. See, it was written that in the guise of generating friendships, the internet can ironically serve to keep people apart. Social media can never replace the authenticity and intimacy of face-to-face interactions. Social media needs to be a supplement, not a replacement. And there's new research coming in that's really frightening that shows the links between the rise of depression, anxiety, and suicide directly linked to social media being a replacement for social interactions. We need friends to be present in our lives. We need face-to-face interactions. And so while being present, be present. That's what we need, people to be present. These are the attributes that are needed and need to be communicated and received. And if you have a space in your note sheets, write these down. We need acceptance. We need to know that we are accepted. Humans need empathy. They need to feel that they are understood. Humans need validation. They need to know that what they are saying and feeling is important. Humans need identification. They need to be able to relate with someone who has shared experiences. And they need a safe place to vent. Now, this is a big one. Everybody needs some safe place to vent or you're going to blow up, right? But here's a side note. Don't be a gossip. You cannot build trust if you are a gossip. A mark of a true friend is that they know how to keep a secret. See, the fastest way to break trust with someone is to have something that someone told you in private slip out and leak into the public. Proverbs 11:13 says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." So you need to keep that trust and don't be a gossip. And lastly, the being present, people need comfort. And when someone is in mourning, when they just suffered a loss, they just need you to be present. Simply let them know with a few words that they are not alone. And what that does, that causes endorphins to be released that helps a person forge ahead in the challenges, buoyed by the connection that you are making with them. And so first relational nutrient is you need to be present. And these are some practical ways of how to do that in today's age. First one is this, table time. Table time. You know that the most most relationships grow and are deepened around a table? Go eat some food with somebody. Go get a coffee with somebody. Get lunch with somebody. Get dinner with somebody. Get around a table and have that table time. Invest your time with one another. Another thing, a practical way of being present is ride-alongs. Hey, if you got like an errand you got to do or you got to do something, bring someone along with you. You know, they're free. You know, like, hey, I got to run to Home Depot to pick up lumber. You want to come with me and help me? Something. Target. Okay, there you could go to Target. Get some deals. Ride-alongs. Have people come along with you. This next one is a very practical one. I love this. Kyle coined this one through tasks. He says the task is the tool to the heart. The task is the tool to the heart. So work alongside somebody. You know, this next Saturday, it's our annual Halloween parade. Right outside these doors, there's thousands of people that come and just hang out and watch the parade. We're going to have a lot of people working and serving our community. That's a great time to work a task with one another and spend time with one another as well. So the task is the tool to the heart. And another way to do it is recreation. Come on, people like to do fun stuff, right? Bring a friend along. Maybe you like biking. Maybe you like surfing. Maybe you like watching sports. Or maybe you like shopping at Target. Bring someone along with you. It's a great way to spend time and connect with one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, let's not neglect the meeting together as some have made it a habit, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I want to challenge you guys this week. Text somebody, call somebody. God's going to put someone in your heart that they need some connection time. Don't delay. Obey right away. And call that person and get connected with them. Spend some table time with them. Be present in their life. The next relational nutrient that is needed is this. Convey the good. Convey the good. We need relationships that are encouraging and uplifting. See, God often chooses to use humans as the delivery vessel of his love and his grace. During Paul's trials, God could have comforted Paul with an angel supernaturally or some kind of miracle or the Holy Spirit manifestation. But in this specific case, God used a person by the name of Titus to come and comfort and encourage Paul. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6 says, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. See, God could use you. He could make you a Titus to somebody to encourage them. So convey the good. Now, don't be a negative Nancy. Please let the good and positive things that leave your lips outweigh the negative things. Man, it is draining hanging out with someone who just complains all the time. Anybody attest to that? But someone who speaks the positive is like a breath of fresh air. So please be a breath of fresh air to somebody. Romans 1 verse 12 says that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And so there's a mutual thing that happens where you hang out and your guys' faith encourages one another. And so that's an amazing thing. So while conveying the good, this nutrient, relational nutrient, these are the attributes that need to be communicated and received. And you guys can jot these down if you have space in your notes. People need affirmation. They need to know that they are approved, right? People need encouragement. People need to get that little boost when they are discouraged. People need respect. People need to hear hope. They need to be reminded of something to hope for. And this next one's a big one. People need forgiveness. People need forgiveness. Now, here's a side note. Forgiveness and healing are two separate things. They're different, okay? Forgiveness is a choice. Healing is a process. But they're tied together. Forgiveness gets you on the operating table to let God begin the process of healing. And so forgiveness opens the door to healing. People need forgiveness, and that opens the pathway for healing to happen. And lastly, people need to be celebrated. People need to be celebrated for their wins and their victories. Be in the moment. See, celebrating brings people together, and it makes them want to repeat the wins. So convey the good. Get together and repeat the wins, celebrate, be there, be encouraging. Now, these are the first two nutrients right here. Be present and convey the good. And these two are, the purpose of them is to build trust. And only until trust is built can you move on to the next nutrient, which is this, provide reality. Provide reality. Now, you can't provide reality until the stepping stones of these first two, being present and convey the truth, are there, so that trust is there. And I'm going to show you why. Truth needs to be communicated, but it needs to be communicated in the right time and in the right way. And if you're in a relationship, you may have been in a predicament kind of like this. You might relate to this. Check out the screens.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way.
I will be the first to confess that that is my life. I am very bad at that. See, I am a fixer, and men generally are fixers, and women are generally feelers. So it doesn't matter if you're right if it's not delivered rightly. And I'm still learning, I'm still improving, and I hope I'm getting better at this, but we're on a journey together, guys, right? We're trying to be better. Before you can provide reality, there needs to be a relationship that has trust. And it's hard to receive truth and reality with people you don't trust, right? So trust comes first. That's why the first two nutrients need to be present and active. You got to be present, you got to convey the good, and then you can provide the reality. See, Proverbs 24, verse 26 says this, "An honest answer is like a warm hug." But sometimes that hug needs to be warmed up just a little bit more. Oftentimes simply listening and validating the other person's feelings first is all that needs to happen. Let them know that what they feel is important and valid. See, on the other side of things, know that truth can be hard to hear. And a true friend will care more about your future than your feelings, and they will tell you the truth even if it hurts. You see, if your friend sees you about to fall off a cliff, metaphorically speaking, they will tell you the hard truth even if it hurts because they care for you. Proverbs 27 verse 5 says, "Better is an open rebuke than a hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend." So you need people in your life that you give permission to tell the hard, honest truths, and vice versa. Do you have anyone in your life that you can care enough for, that you can do this for them, that you love them enough, and that your relationship is deep enough in a place where you can tell them the harsh realities that need to be said? See, we need this kind of friendship in our lives, and we need to give people permission to speak into our lives in this way. And a little trick, you can always ask for permission before you do it, just like, "Hey, do I have permission to give you some advice right now?" And if they're not ready, just respect that, okay? You don't want to get the nail in your head. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says this, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." A wise man listens to advice. And lastly, this is a final relational nutrient that we all need, and is the next point in your note sheets. We need relationships that will call us to action. Call to action. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." Your best friend should bring out the best in you. We need to continually improve and get better in all arenas of our life. Physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, everything needs to continue to get better. And we need those kind of relationships that drive us upward. And we need to have friends that will help us along this journey. So we need to bring out the best in ourselves and as well as in others. Are you the type of friend that will look at someone and spur them on to what's better and encourage them on to do better and good things? Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Now, I want to encourage you all to make stretch goals. Write down stretch goals in your notes just so you know what it is. Stretch goals are goals that will stretch your leadership, your faith, your character to become more like Christ. We need to stretch ourselves to improve. And it's a challenge to grow. So we need to figure out where do we need to challenge ourselves to grow. And stretch goals are best met with two things, a deadline and accountability. So what is it in your life that you feel like God is saying, hey, this area in your life, you need to grow here. Or this area in your life, that needs to get cut out. Find out what it is, set a deadline for it, and tell a friend. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So this isn't like give someone advice and they say, all right, see you later, good luck, right? The stretch goals, you are to help keep the other accountable, to help them reach their goals, to bear each other's burdens. And so what arena do you need growth in? Set a deadline, tell a friend. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fail, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Surround yourself with people that will call you to action. Be the type of person that calls your good friends to action. Lifeway did a study, and they found that only 50% of people who attend church develop deep, meaningful relationships. But they found that people who attend small groups, 90% of those people develop deep, meaningful relationships. And they also found that in an average church, only 45% of people say that they are that attend church say that they are thinking about biblical things throughout their day and their week. But they found that people that are plugged into small groups and a community, they think about biblical things 75% more. Now, you need to join a small group. You need to join a community. You need to join, get plugged into a group of people that will lift you up and continue to spur you on to good things that God wants you for. See, when you get plugged into a community, when you surround yourself with good people, again, good friends, that delivers these life-giving nutrients to you, and you will grow and stretch to be more Christ-like. Now, this entire message can be summed up in one verse. And we read that verse. It was the first verse we read, chapter 15, verse 12 of John. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Just remember Christ's love for you. You are fully known. You are fully loved. And God has entrusted us to be the vessels that his love and grace are brought to the world. And we do that by being there for our friends. Be present. Convey the good. Provide reality. Call people to action. And when we provide the relational nutrients that others need, and vice versa, when we are provided those relational nutrients that we need, we will better grow into healthier humans, mentally, physically, spiritually, and we can mature to be all that God has called us to be. Now, I want to end with this verse. John 15, verse 16, it says this. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. The fruit that Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about people. He's talking about more people, more friends added to the kingdom of God, connected to the vine, which is Jesus. And I want to end with this last illustration of the power of friendship. And we've done this before, but in light of what we just talked about, I want you to keep that in mind. Raise your hand if you are sitting here in church today because your life crossed paths or connected with a friend that invited you to church, got you plugged into a small group, you found a relationship with God because of a relationship with a friend. Raise your hand high. If you are here in church, if you found your way yourself in church, because some point in life, a friend, also a family member, that's a relationship as well, brought you here and you are here because of a relationship. Raise your hand high. Look around. Look around. Everybody, raise your hand high. Look at this. The majority. You see, at one point, you needed a friend. You needed a friend to connect you to Jesus. And right now, there is a friend that needs you. There's a friend that needs you to connect them to Jesus. And so, be the best of friends. You need friends, and your friends need you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.